Good morning. Let's continue in our study of the Infinite Way on the chapter called Prayer. Let's get still first. Be quiet. Receptive. Listening. Not listening with your ear, as when you hear my voice, but internally, with your inner ear. Feel the Spirit. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, says the Apostle James. Have you ever thought of this when you have prayed for some time and then found no answer to your prayer? Ye ask amiss. There is the reason. James, brother of Jesus, after Jesus passed, James went out to the desert and meditated. Months and months, if not years. And he learned some things. This was one of them. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. Also, he said, faith without works is dead. So you can have faith in some God somewhere, and you won't show forth the fruitage. And he'll get into that on the very next page. Prayer, when based on the belief that there is a need unfulfilled, a desire unsatisfied, is never in accord with true scientific prayer. Now, Joel came from the Christian Science background, and some of that is bleeding through here when he says, it's never in accord with true scientific prayer. A prayer for God to do something, send something, provide or heal is equally without power. Now, Joel's meditations definitely had power. And we want to go and do likewise. However, if it's based on the belief that there's a need, a desire, that God needs to do something or heal us, is without power. So when you ask amiss, it's without power. It is sometimes believed that God requires a channel through which to fulfill our prayer. And this leads us to look outside ourselves for the answer. And there's your clue right there. Asking amiss is looking outside ourselves for the answer. We may believe that supply can come to us, and therefore we watch for the person or the position through which it is to come. We may be depending on a healer or depending on a teacher as the channel through which the healing is to come. Ye ask amiss. Any belief that that which we are seeking is anywhere but within us, within our very own consciousness, is the barrier separating us in belief from our harmony. So if you have a belief that that which you are seeking is anywhere but within you, ye ask amiss. True prayer is never addressed to a being outside ourselves, nor does true prayer expect anything from outside our own being. The kingdom of God is within you, and all good must be sought there. Recognizing God to be the reality of our being, we know that all good is inherent in that being, your being and my being. God is the substance of our being, and therefore we are eternal and harmonious. God is life, and this life is self-sustained. He is our soul, and we are pure and immortal. God is the mind, consciousness of the individual, and this constitutes the intelligence of our being. Here is the principle. Take it as a seed and plant it in the soil of your consciousness. There is not God and you, but God is ever manifest as you. Well, you get up, you go to the mirror, and you look. I don't see any God manifested. But here it is, right here. Rightly speaking, there is not God and you, but God is ever manifest as you. You believe this man when he says that? Do you believe the state of consciousness he live through when it says that? This is the oneness which assures you of infinite good. God is the life, mind, body, and substance of individual being. Therefore, nothing can be added to any individual. And true prayer is the constant recognition of this truth. So you want prayer with power? God is the life, mind, body, and substance of my individual being. And my constant recognition of this is answered prayer. Prayer with power. Conscious awareness of our true being, of the infinite nature and character of our only being, this too is prayer. So constant recognition, conscious awareness, this is prayer. In this consciousness, instead of seeking, asking, waiting in prayer, we turn our thought inward and listen for the still small voice, which assures us that even before we asked, our Father knew and fulfilled the need. Here is the great secret of prayer. God is all in all, and God is forever manifested. There is no unmanifested God or good. That's the secret. There is no unmanifested God or good. Well, why don't I see it? Because it's manifested invisibly in the kingdom within you. There's where you find the substance God manifested. And that substance will form itself out here as harmony. But you must be consciously aware of God's substance within you, the manifested God. Here is the secret of prayer, that God is all in all, and God is forever manifested. There is no unmanifested God or good. That which we seem to be seeking is ever present within us and already manifested, and we need to know this truth. All good already is and is forever manifested. The realization of this truth is answered prayer. So, all good already is and is forever manifested. And if I will work with that principle, that truth, until I have a click, a realization, a recognition, then that is answered prayer. So what do we know so far? So far we know that we have to recognize that the kingdom of heaven is within. And we have to turn to that within and recognize, realize, God is the substance of my being, and God is forever manifested. There's no unmanifested God. So, that which we seem to be seeking, health, supply, companionship, harmony, it's already present within us. It's already manifested, and we need to know this truth. All good already is and is forever manifested. The recognition of this truth is answered prayer. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. But the recognition of the truth that harmony is already manifested within you, that is answered prayer. Our health, wealth, employment, home, harmony, etc., are not dependent on some far-off God, are never dependent on a channel or a person or a place, but are eternally at hand, omnipresent within our very consciousness, and the recognition of this fact is answered prayer. I and my Father are one, and this accounts for the completeness of individual beings. So twice he said, the recognition of this is answered prayer. And I want my prayers answered. So I'd better stop seeking a God somewhere to send me something. I better stop praying to a God up there, or a God out there. I want answered prayer, so I better recognize all good already is and is forever manifested, but it's invisible. It's an invisible manifestation. Well, to my five senses, it's invisible. But to spiritual discernment, I can recognize omnipresence within my very own consciousness. And I can rest there, knowing that truth. And that truth that I am knowing will set me free. Free in the conscious awareness of unmanifested spirit manifesting itself. It's unmanifested to the senses, but spiritual discernment will always behold that manifested invisible presence. Always. No, there is no God somewhere to pray to. I and my Father are one. Then I am the same substance as the Father. I am the same consciousness. Properly speaking, there is not God and you. It is impossible to pray aright unless this truth is understood. So how do you pray to I, since I and God are one, and so God is I? How do you pray to the I within? And that's a question that must be answered. And these kinds of questions will bring you closer and closer to answered prayer. Prayer becomes blind faith or belief rather than understanding when we do not know our real relationship with God. It is our conscious awareness of the oneness of being, the oneness of life, mind, truth, and love, that results in answered prayer. Your conscious awareness, he says that quite often, the constant recognition, conscious awareness of our true being, conscious awareness of the oneness of being. It is the constant recognition of our life, our mind, our substance, and our activity as the manifestation of God being that constitutes true prayer. So, true prayer is not asking some God somewhere for something. True prayer is not trying to manifest what's already manifested. True prayer is turning within you and looking right into the invisible and beholding the ever-present manifested God. which is the eye. As we identify this God being as the only reality of our individual being, we are able to comprehend ourselves as the fulfillment of God. Did you know that you are God fulfilling itself? We are able to comprehend ourselves as the fulfillment of God, as the completeness and the perfection of being, all-inclusive, immortal, and divine. Your recognition of the divinity of your individual being, embracing and including the allness of God, is true prayer, which is ever answered prayer. So the recognition of the divinity of your individual being is true prayer. Conscious awareness of the oneness of being. Conscious awareness of true being. All of this makes up true prayer. You see, it's an experience that takes place within your consciousness. The correction of the belief that we are ever separate or apart from our good is the essence of true prayer. So you should be working with principles that point out to you that you are never separate or apart from you're good. That which I am seeking, I am. Whatever it is of good that I have believed to be separate from me is, in fact, a constituted part of my being. I include, embody, and embrace within myself, within my consciousness, the reality of God, which forms the infinity of health, wealth, and harmony of my being. The conscious awareness, there it is again, the conscious awareness of this truth is true prayer. So, your conscious awareness that you embody and embrace within your consciousness the reality of God, which then forms itself, your conscious awareness of that truth is true prayer. It's prayer with power. It brings results. So true prayer is a recognition. It's a conscious awareness. It's knowing without using thought. Despite the allness of God expressed as perfect individual being, there constantly arises in human experience those ills which call forth our understanding of prayer. What is the nature of error, sin, disease? How can such things be and God be all in all? Answer: such things cannot be and are not, despite the appearance of pain and discord and sorrow. Well, that's a bitter pill to swallow. My conscious awareness, my constant recognition that I and the Father are one, that all of God, all infinity, is manifest, forever manifest. That's not enough. I may be knowing that with my mind and still be suffering pain. No, that doesn't make me a bad person or slow person. This is what persons have been doing since the first person. But now lift your eyes. Remind yourself, this pain was not created by God. It must be what Joel calls error. The Bible reveals to us the basic truth of being, namely that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But that which he made is invisible to the senses. Yes, you live and move and have your being in it, in the finished kingdom. But you're only aware right now of the pain. Do your best to drop that. Turn within here. Try to recognize the eye of you is God manifest. All that the Father has is yours. In this all good that God made, there is nothing that defileth or maketh a lie, and there is no other creative principle. It becomes clear then that that which is appearing as error, sin, disease, pain is illusion, mirage, or nothingness. Let us then, as part of our prayer, remember that God made all that was made, and in this universe, all of God, there is only the all presence and all power of God, divine love, and therefore that which at the moment appears to us as error is a false sense of reality. So you're looking at reality, the eye of you, God infinitely manifest, invisibly present. But you're not looking at it with your spiritual discernment. You're looking at it with your five senses. Therefore, it's showing you error, disease, pain, poverty, loneliness. But that's not what is there. What is there is what you must recognize. So be still. Be still about it. Father, reveal thyself. I listen. I watch. I behold. In this way, my spiritual discernment, my soul faculty, begins to move, and I feel its movement. Ah, there it is. There I am. my Father are one, and so I let that oneness seep in and sink in. As I discern that oneness with the Father, there comes a time in our experience when spiritual inspiration reveals to individual consciousness a state of being free of mortal conditions and mortal beliefs. Then we no longer live a life of mental affirmations and denials, but rather receive constant unfoldments, impartations of truth from consciousness. Sometimes this comes through our own thought. It may come through a book, a lecture, or a service imparted by divine consciousness. Regardless of the seeming channel through which it may come, it is God revealing itself to individual consciousness. As we become more and more consciously aware of our oneness with the universal or Christ mind, whatever desires or needs come to us bring with them their fulfillment of every righteous thought and wish. Is it not clear, then, that our oneness with consciousness being established in the beginning, through the relationship forever existing between God and His manifested being, it requires no conscious effort to bring about or maintain? No, you don't have to bring this oneness about. You don't have to maintain it. The awareness of this truth is the connecting link with divine consciousness. To many, prayer means supplication and petition to a God in a place called heaven. I hope you've grown beyond that. That would only increase your feeling of separation. That this prayer has resulted so universally in failure to attain its ends must prove that this is not prayer, and that the God prayed to is not there listening. I know in the beginning this feels like, oh, there's no God there listening. Who am I supposed to pray to? How do I pray? They have taken my Lord away. Human thought eventually realized the lack of answer to such prayers, and turn to a search for the true God and the true concept of prayer. This led to a revelation of truth as understood and practiced by Christ Jesus and many earlier revelators. Here we learn that the kingdom of God is within you, and therefore prayer must be directed within, to that point in consciousness where the universal life, God, becomes individualized as you or as me. So you have to learn to pray to the eye of your being. And you can't pray for anything or any situation or any help that's not the right path. Something to do with constant recognition and conscious awareness. So it turns out the prayer is not me uttering anything at all. Prayer is becoming still and tuning into that infinite manifested presence, tuning into the I. All right. You speak. I am your servant. And then listen with your spiritual ear. We learn that God created the world in the beginning and that it was good. Being good, the universe must inevitably be complete, harmonious, and perfect, so that instead of pleading for good, our prayer becomes the realization of the omnipresence of good. And so the higher concept reveals prayer as the affirmation of good and the denial of the existence of error as reality. So you're not denying the existence of error. Oh, it's not here, it's not here. And you know that your finger is all bent because you just smashed it in the door. No, it's not a denial of the existence of error. It's a denial of the existence of error as real. When the prayer of affirmation results in the use of formulas, it has a tendency to revert to old-fashioned faith prayer, and therefore loses its power. When, however, one's prayer consists of spontaneous and sincere affirmations of the infinity of God and of the harmony and perfection of His manifestation, one is indeed nearing the absolute of prayer, which is communion with God. So, in the beginning, we're praying to a God somewhere. Please, send me the rent by the 30th. Please, heal my body so that I can do your good works, of course. See, I'm bargaining with God there. Well, that doesn't work after a while, and we see it doesn't work. So we consult the principles, and we discover affirmations and denials. So we affirm, God is the invisible, infinitely manifested creation. This thing that is bugging me, this is not created by God. Therefore, it was not made. It's a series of universal mental images. Not made by God. Now I am using my spiritual discernment. God is. God is, right now, in the midst of me, God is. And God's creation is ever present. God's creation is always manifested. This that had been appearing is not reality. So I rest here knowing the truth. And I feel an inner movement. I feel that spirit is on the field. I feel my invisible eye. And it flows. It becomes stronger, steadier. Oh, thank you, Father. Now I am communing with God. I'm feeling that inner presence, resting in it, and how beautiful it is. So we move from faith prayer all the way to communion. Before our enlightenment in truth, we prayed for things and persons. We sought to gain some personal end. With his great vision, Emerson wrote, "Prayer that craves a particular commodity, anything less than all good, is vicious." Then this wise man defines prayer for us. Prayer is the contemplation of the facts of life from the highest point of view, yes, with spiritual discernment. It is the soliloquy of a beholding and jubilant soul. It is the Spirit of God pronouncing his works good. As soon as the man is one with God, he will not beg. Prayer must not be understood as going to God for something. For as Emerson continues, prayer as a means to effect a private end is meanness and theft. Well, now we know what prayer is not, and have glimpsed that prayer is the union of ourself, the individual soul, with God, the universal soul. Actually, the individual soul and the universal soul are one. But the conscious awareness of this truth constitutes the union or oneness which is true prayer. Here we have it again, the conscious awareness. Conscious awareness, not the thought that I and God are one, but the conscious awareness of feeling that blended being, the I. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And this we must remember when we pray. This manifested presence is not of this world. This world is made up of 5 physical senses and a whole lot of thinking about what these senses perceive. My kingdom, my realm, my spiritual being is within me, and spiritually discerning it, I discern my wholeness, my completeness, my perfection, my eternal and immortal self. To go to God carrying some recollection, some demand, some desire of this world must end fruitlessly. When we enter our sanctuary of spirit, we must leave outside all worldly wishes, needs, and lacks. We must drop this world and go to God with but one idea, communion with God, union or oneness with God. We must not pray to gain, to have changed or corrected. Prayer, which is conscious oneness with God, always results in bringing forth harmony, peace, joy, success. These are the added things. Okay, so your prayer, which is your conscious oneness with God, always results in harmony. And that harmony is an added thing. Feeling that presence is the goal. Harmony is an added thing. It is not that spirit produces or heals or corrects matter or the physical universe. It is that we rise higher in consciousness to where there is less matter and therefore less discord, inharmony, disease, or lack. You see that? It's your conscious awareness. If you're consciously aware of a material sense of life and the problems, difficulties that it has, you're on one level. And it's called human life. But if you rise higher by being consciously aware of God, if you become consciously, spiritually discerning, and you feel the movement of God's infinite manifestation right where you are, now you're functioning from a different level. No longer a human life, no longer a material life. Now you are using spiritual discernment, and you are consciously aware of spirit functioning. And harmony will appear. The added things will appear. Communion with God is true prayer. Then that means everything else leading up to that is not true prayer. Communion with God, feeling, discerning that presence within you, or discerning yourself within that presence. These two are one. And that's true prayer. It is the unfoldment in individual consciousness of His presence, His power, and it makes you every whit whole. Communion with God is in reality listening for the still small voice. In this communion, or true prayer, no words pass from you to God. No words. But the consciousness of the presence of God is realized as the impartation of truth, and love comes from God within to you. Okay, so in this communion, which is true prayer, no words pass from you to God, but the impartation of truth and love comes from God to you. It is a holy state of being and never leaves us where it finds us. Now, that was a pretty short chapter. Hopefully, you have some nuggets that you can take into your consciousness and roll them over and look at them and feel them and contemplate them. Anything leading to a constant recognition or a conscious awareness is what you want. Now, hopefully, after last week's chapter on meditation and this week's chapter on prayer, you will not be confused. You will know what to do, and you will do it. If we had but 5 people in our group, just 5, that could consciously dwell and commune with God, the God of their being. If we had 5, we could save the city. Now, I don't know what the answers are for our country, that is the U.S., or Australia, or England, South Africa, China, India. I don't know what the answers are. Well, that's untrue. I don't know what the material sense answers are, but I do know what the answer is, and it's you and I going within, achieving this communion, which is answered prayer, and which comes with power, if there was just 5 of us that could do this, we would bring, well, we would usher in the Spirit of the Living God, God's manifestation appearing. And I have talked a long time, hours and hours, and if you can commune, let me know. There may be some world work for us to do. Well, again, I thank you. This was a little short, but the chapter was short. But I think there at the end, I reached the place I wanted to get to, talking about communion with God. That is answered prayer. When you commune with God, what you become aware of, your conscious awareness, your constant recognition, what you become aware of is the spirit of the living, invisible God. And what you commune with is the answer to prayer. Thank you. I love you, my brothers, my sisters. Let us do good, but better than that, let us do God. Blessings.